Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bogman, Welsh, ITL, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, apps, podcasts, all the things are here. We are here for you, and we are going to talk about a little bit of NFL preseason week three, the dress rehearsal, as it is known as. Correct, Bogman?
Yeah, dress rehearsal. Of course, you know, after
where no
the
one
cam,
actually
everyone's
plays.
Like, yeah, the dress rehearsal where Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, and after Cam Newton gets somewhat banged up, everyone's like, no, we're not putting our starters in. Forget this. No way.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Cam here in a second, but one thing I wanted to mention, you know, we were talking about just, you know, drafts, and we just did our quote draft party episode, which was a good time with Bob Harris over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. I suggest you check it out. But we were talking about the drafts that were starting up on Friday, and I already feel like gifts are a given. I had Alvin Kamara drop to 5 in a super flex to me because Mahomes went 1 overall and then Elliott went 3, and Kamara ended up dropping, of course. And then, you know, I know this isn't a drop based on anything you go read standard-wise around, you know, not Fantasy Pros or whoever you talk to, even when we were talking to Bob. But for us, I got Todd Gurley in a 16 team at 9 in PPR, and I was incredibly excited about that. Two good pushes that I was excited about. I love when one of the guys you want, I love a fall. There's no better feeling in a fantasy draft. Like, there's one thing to like get your sleeper that you wanted to get. Got to get this guy in the fourth round or something like that. But when somebody falls and you're just shaking, you're like, oh, let him get to me. Like that feeling. And then you get him, you're just like, gotcha. It's just such a good feeling. I forgot about that with drafts. It's an adrenaline rush.
You sound like a drug addict. Yeah, let him get to me.
Yeah, I got some of those players that keep falling. Absolutely.
Just follow me. Fall. Come on. You sound like that Futurama bit where Nixon's head first wakes up and he's looking out his window and he's looking at a squirrel on a power line and he's like, fall.
Fall.
Fall, damn it. Come on, fall.
That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. So a couple good things dropping my way. What did you do? This was one of our entry leagues where it's one entry got you into two leagues, a PPR and a super flex. What did you do in both of those?
I'm actually not up in PPR yet.
Oh.
Because there's someone I went to pick and it said, warning, you'll be picking for someone else. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I got, you know, when you're doing so many, I believe I'm involved in 6 slow drafts right now.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow it's going to be 8. And then this weekend it's going to be 10 at once. So
It's going to go real well with all your responses on Twitter and emails and the amount of stuff you're getting hit with. I'm sure everything is going to be very timely.
There's no way I auto draft any of these picks.
Not one chance, of course.
Right. But it's been, you know, it's been a whirlwind. I get so many emails. So I almost made a really, really good pick for my guy Barrow, who's picking right in front of me. I'm looking at
because you're the commissioner, so you almost made the pick
so
thinking you were up.
Picks. Yeah, right. And I've done that before. So let's see. Saquon went first, then CMC and Kamara. No surprise there. Then Hopkins went 4. Lewis took Zeke at 5. Then Davante Adams, Le'Veon, David Johnson, Gurley, Julio, James Conner, Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon. So all those wideouts or all those running backs went right in front of me. So I am staring Michael Thomas in the face.
And
so
you're up Barrow, or you're up next?
I'm up next. So if Barrow takes him.
So who are the top, you know, 3 guys available?
Probably Michael Thomas, Juju, and Travis Kelce.
What about a running back? Who's the top running
back?
Yeah,
I mean, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette.
He's taking Michael
guys.
Thomas. Michael Thomas is 100% going here. So do you take Juju?
If Michael Thomas goes, I think I'm going to take Kelce.
Do it again. Look at you. You're the Travis Kelce guy this year.
I guess, but I think in a bigger league, in 15-man, 16-man, it makes a bigger difference of tight end than it does in a smaller league, right? Because now if I'm playing the guy who took the 16th tight end, my difference could be, you know, 12 points, depending on how big a day Travis Kelce has. Then it could be, you know, 3 or 4. So it's just a bigger difference there at tight end. So I think I might be talking myself into Kelce over Michael Thomas.
Sounds like you are.
Crazy.
Maybe he's going to take Kelce.
Yeah, maybe he will. So we'll see. But he has got 3 hours left to pick. Jeez, you've been on the clock for an hour, Barrow. Get your act together. Mm. What are you at your job?
What about the other one, the Superflex?
Superflex, I just took James Conner at 14. Mm. So I'm definitely going to take a quarterback coming back, but there's such a big kind of grouping of them.
I don't even feel as compelled. That's the one that I got Kamara in at 5 because of the quarterback. I'm not even sure. I mean, we'll see what happens. It's a 16-team Superflex, so obviously there's heavy considerations into what you should do with your quarterback. But I'm going to monitor, because if people do get nutty with quarterbacks, there's some incredible values that can be had at running back and wide receiver. And then, you know, I don't like to be the guy that's going to step into a super flex, you know, with the bottom guys. I don't want to have Trubisky and Garoppolo necessarily as my starters. But if it's at the expense of having, you know, two high-end RB1s and a high-end wide receiver one, it actually might be worth it. Superflex is always an interesting conundrum of how things turn out. You getting Connor at 14 is a freaking deal. Kamara shouldn't drop to 5.
No, Kamara definitely should. In fact, in the Medieval League, where we're doing our picks right now, and then we're going to fire up, probably Sunday or Monday, I purposely picked 3 for Kamara. I was like, I'll take Kamara at 3. That's not an issue at all.
You were like hesitant to
5.
I was about to say, you're like hesitant to say it there for a second, but like, you'll get McCaffrey, if not. Like, who cares?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'll get one of those top 3 running backs, and that's kind of why I picked spot 3. So it doesn't really matter. But, I picked 3 for Kamara, and you got him at 5. So, you know, it's one of those things where if I knew I was going to get him at 5, I would have picked 5.
Draft stuff is happening, dude. I mean, I'm telling you, this weekend, this is a big draft weekend. People may be drafting now, tonight, tomorrow, or into next week. Elliott, no signs. He's out there working with Falk. No signs of coming back. Cooper is now in question. I mean, there's just so many things that are looming around that are Todd Gurley is still a major question mark for people. There's just a lot of question marks that are having some interesting drops. And I love when I'm the beneficiary of them. One that could be a drop, and I don't think changes how people will approach quarterback, is what you said. It's the dreaded injury in preseason. It looks like we're okay, but Cam Newton has a foot sprain. He was in a walking boot after he left the 3rd preseason game. A collective absolute freakout by everybody after he finished 4 for 6 with 30 yards passing. And he was sacked twice, though. There's your concern. But it looks like he'll be okay for week 1. But Cam Newton has gone from somebody that everybody loved to like wait and draft. Like, everybody's mantra was like, man, Cam Newton's undervalued. So I think people now are a little bit more concerned. So I don't think it affects 12 teams, but Superflex, 2 quarterbacks, 16 teams. I think it changes just a slight dynamic to the quarterbacks, where you got one off the board-ish. He's not off the board, but he's pushed back. And are you comfortable pushing Cam Newton back for Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson? Some are. Some are not. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, with Luck falling and, the collective group of quarterbacks being in question, and now Cam Newton going out, to see what repercussions come from this. Are you worried at all about McCaffrey or DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel or anybody if this lingers just a tiny bit for a week or two into the season?
I'm not really, because we saw, you know, a half broken Cam Newton last season, and those guys were somewhat successful. You know, DJ Moore in his rookie year was very good. Christian McCaffrey was one of the best running backs in the league. So, and the unfortunate truth about Cam Newton is the dude is just used to playing banged up, because, and someone was pointing this out, I believe this is on NFL Network, and I can't remember who said it, so forgive me for that, but they said, look, Cam is not a rookie. He is an entrenched veteran in this league. he can't be making these mistakes. And I don't know if you saw the play that he got hurt on, but he almost got hit and he didn't go down and he's trying to make something happen with his legs in the preseason. Like, I know that it's usually all go or no go, right? Like, if you're out there, your adrenaline's pumping, you just have to try to make the play because that's the player you are.
A lot of these athletes have a hard time turning off, like, full go.
Right. But I think even in the season, because he's been banged up so much, he needs to be able to just recognize, hey, look, you know, it's early in the season, or in this case, it's preseason. I think I need to just eat it here and just go down, you know?
Yeah.
And if he starts doing that a little bit more, then, you know, maybe he will be more successful and more healthy the deeper you get into the season. It just makes too much sense for him to, you know, start sliding a little bit or throwing the ball away or something. And it's not, you know, the older he gets, the worse that problem is going to be. And I think I'm kind of out on drafting Newton.
So oh, really? Okay.
So I don't want to end up with Will Greer. He's already doing this.
Yeah.
In the preseason.
And Cam is coming in as the eighth quarterback on Fantasy Pros right now. He's going ahead of Luck. Dak comes in at 10. Lamar Jackson's 11. Ben is 13. Goff is 14. That's ridiculous, by the way, how these things are ranked out. I think, I mean, you know, you and I have got Jared Goff at like 6. Roethlisberger's, you know, at like my 8 or something. I love Carson Wentz. Cam Newton is firmly below Goff, Wentz, Roethlisberger, and Luck for me. So he's borderline 12 if I even want to dance with it, which was kind of your point. Like, why even bother, truly?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not that I'm taking him completely off my board. It's just where he's going.
It's not interesting.
Not going to be a Bogman guy.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Bogman guy. Some notes from that game, by the way. Curtis Samuel was targeted 3 times. That's a positive sign, you know, if you're scoring at home with how much, you know, he's been. On the other side, the Patriots, I thought this is interesting. Heavy doses of Sonny Michel. 10 carries, 36 yards he was able to get in the game. Nick Brossette essentially kind of took over his role. Damien Harris got a little bit of a run. There was no James White, but James White's just not somebody you worry about in the running game. He's more of a passing game guy. But of note is the heavy workload that Sonny Michel got. Not that it wouldn't have been expected, but I think people forget, like, Sonny Michel is still a guy that could get 18 to 20 carries. And Jacoby Myers continues to go nuts. He was targeted 12 times in the game, 7 catches, 74 yards. And that was the guy on the last podcast that we just did over on the ITL Football that Bob Harris, like, he pinpointed as the guy he's taking at the back end of all of his drafts.
I think we got to start believing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we have to start looking at Jacoby Myers and what he's doing with New England and start buying into it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you to take him as a top 4 wide receiver at all. You know, he's not in the top 48 of the wideouts or anything. I don't even know if he's in the top 60, to be honest. But he has got to be wrapped up in there. By the way, so Barrow made his picks.
Ooh.
And in Superflex.
Did he have back-to-back or you said
no,
picks?
He had it was him and then Brent and then him again. So, this a-hole.
So who did you get first? I don't understand.
I took James Conner.
Oh, okay. So coming back you thought you would get Michael Thomas?
Well, no.
I'm
confused. That was PPR.
Okay.
But Michael Thomas is still on the board here too. So
what went after you got James Conner? What were the picks?
Le'Veon Bell, then Matt Ryan,
wow.
Russell Wilson were back-to-back picks for Brent because of Superflex. And then Jared Goff. So
wow, quarterbacks are going crazy like here, but Michael Thomas is on the board. I mean, you know where I stand on this, Bogman. Like,
yeah,
I'm taking Michael Thomas. There's no way I'm passing up Michael Thomas.
I just can't do it, dude. I have to take a quarterback.
That's crazy.
I
mean, good.
I'm glad
you're doing it. I'm glad you're doing it. Leave more incredible players for me, and I'll have lower quarterbacks. I'm okay with it. I hate seeing Jared Goff go so early. I'm looking at that draft. I don't want to see all the quarterbacks go because obviously, like what you're saying, it's putting pressure on. But I mean, Joe Mixon's still out there. Tyreek Hill, Nick Chubb.
I think it makes sense for you though. You're picking at 9, so you don't have to wait like I do. So
yeah, I suppose I see what you're saying. I mean, quarterbacks are definitely going. It's getting pretty gross here. But if I got to go to war with Dak and Kirk Cousins, I'll go to war with Dak and Kirk Cousins.
Oh, God. All right. This is a tough pick. So I think I'm going to take Roethlisberger. So
right here?
Yeah.
Wait, you're taking him so. Over Michael Thomas?
Oh, God. Don't say that.
you do you, man. You do you.
Oh, God.
What are we going to do?
Nah. I'm going to take Michael Thomas. I can't take Roethlisberger.
I mean, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, they're all on the board. But, yeah, you know, sure. Take Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm going to take Joe Mixon.
All okay. Right. Are you going to take anybody? You just keep changing.
I took Joe Mixon. I did it.
All right, good.
AFC North running backs. I'm you know.
So I'm going to take back-to-back quarterbacks now.
Yeats.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'll take them if – all the good players. Like I said, Superflex, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, I'll have the 12th pick in the second round. Michael Thomas, Odell, Juju, Tyreek Hill, those guys are all still sitting out there. I'm not passing on those guys. Travis Kelce is still out there. You didn't even look at Kelce when you were
talking about that. No, I saw Kelce, but I'm not going to take him over Mixon.
Yeah, so. No, I mean, I agree. But, like, I'm going to look at those guys before I look at the quarterbacks. And if I'm fishing in a lower pond, that's okay. We'll deal with it. That's the fun thing here. We got to go to break here in a minute, but real quick, Giants, they didn't beat up on the Bengals, but they won. But Rodney Anderson, 8 carries, 7 yards. Rodney Anderson back. Do you think Rodney could be a super late, sneaky, deeper league guy? Also had 4 catches for 51 yards.
I think he's still going to be slowly worked in because of his ACL injury last year at Oklahoma. But if he gets back to what he was before, Rodney Anderson is an incredible running back. And if he hadn't blown out his knee, I think he would have been the first back off the board in this draft over Jacobs, over Montgomery. So,
I mean, those are it's a good testament. Well, here, let's go to break. We got to go to break here. We can talk a little bit more about Rodney, more games. So don't go anywhere, more in this league. Coming up on the other side of this break.
Generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Season-long fantasy football drafts, they are in full swing, especially this weekend. At Roto Experts, they got you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package with the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts team provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you are playing. Go save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off promo code FNTSY. That, friendos, is the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Welcome back. This is In This League. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. Find us over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Here is what you can find when you're there. We got updated ranks. I was working on my ranks on Friday, so that should be all set up for the weekend. We've got an uncensored mock draft as one of our secret shows that you can listen to. We've got GroupMe rooms if you want to talk with tons and tons of our other listeners who are in drafts. You also get access to Bogman and I. Bogman did a Friday AMA. I mean, there's stuff over there. So go check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army. We were talking about the preseason, and I had to cut you off a little bit, but Rodney Anderson with the Bengals.
You set me up to talk about Rodney Anderson right before the break. What were you thinking?
I tried to be like, hey, quickly, but I should have known you had a lot to say about Rodney Anderson.
And this is from a Texas fan, and I'm, you know, I'm obviously a Longhorns fan, but I'm telling you, Rodney Anderson looked like Marshall Faulk. So,
and this is the thing. You say you think they'll still bring him along lightly, but I mean, he had 4 catches and 8 rushes in this game. So, I mean, in what we would say as the dress rehearsal type of game, obviously they weren't going out with the big dogs, but I don't know. I don't think it said everything, but I think it kind of spoke a lot to what we saw with him out there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously him getting on the field is, quicker than I thought it was going to be, because they've talked about babying him along so much ever since drafting him. And, You know, Travion going out, I think, bumped him up too, because they obviously drafted Travion Williams, but he's injured. So Rodney Anderson moves up a little bit there, and you know, they cast what's his name? Why can't I think? Mark Walton asunder last year. Mm. So they're looking for a dude. So Rodney Anderson could definitely be a guy, especially he's the guy I fly to the wire if anything should happen to Joe Mixon, you know.
But
so,
deeper leagues, but maybe.
Listen to me.
Maybe push out there.
Dude, I just drafted Joe Mixon, and I'm gushing about Rodney Anderson. I'm gushing about Sooner Bengals. What is wrong with me?
It kind of does it hurt your soul a little bit? All right, let's change the tune then. Outside of, because I wanted to give it its proper breathing room here, outside of Cam Newton's injury, the second biggest thing in week three of the preseason was Darius Geis. Darius Geis went out there and they let him rip. 11 carries, yeah. 44 yards. He had a catch in his one target. Darius Geis looked good. And all we have been inundated with is he's not practicing. He's behind. He's not this. He's not that. Adrian Peterson wants to have 4,000 million yards rushing. And Darius Geis comes out in the third game and looks fantastic. I mean, there was no Adrian Peterson. Chris Thompson got a little bit of his run. But I think it leads to a lot of optimism where Darius Geis has just fallen and fallen in drafts. He's not, I would not call him a target of mine, but when I end up getting him as like my fourth running back, I'm jumping all over it. Even as a flex running back, he works.
Yeah, you know, there's been many, many spots where I've looked and I've gone, I think I got to take him here, you know, and that's, it's not like me. I'm having this with Redskins backs because I think, you know, in the drafts that we do, we're usually in with people that listen to us. So
yeah, which is always a negative for us.
It's an issue, right? Because I have stated publicly, I would rather go Christmas fishing with Scott Peterson than draft any running back from the Redskins. And that is just, first of all, it's a file quote. Probably shouldn't be saying it. But
sure glad you didn't.
But it's a funny bit because I just don't want to be involved in that situation because of Geis and Peterson and all that stuff. And I do think that this Geis situation is hilarious because, you know, everyone's worrying about him. He's not practicing. And then he goes on and he says, you know, I've only been injured one time in my entire football career. The only time I ever got hurt was when I tore my ACL, and about 5 minutes after he said that, he pulled his hamstring in practice. So, and you have to kind of start thinking about that stuff. You know, the dude's only been in the league for one season. He missed that entire season. He's already banged up with a hamstring injury when he's coming off the ACL surgery. So all this stuff kind of starts to mount, and his value starts to drop and drop and drop and sink like a stone. But when you're looking at running back rankings, I mean, where is he on Fantasy Pros right now, the Welsh? Do you have any of that stuff?
Yeah, that's what I'm
up?
Looking at. I had week one stuff up. So let me, because, I'm going to go to ADP real quick.
Look, Geis is sexier than some of these names, but would you rather have Geis or LeSean McCoy?
Geis.
Would you rather have Geis or Drake?
No one's close. Elijah had a really bad game. I think Geis. By just a tiny bit. I've got it pulled up now, by the way.
And that's minimal. So where is he going among running backs?
He's going as the, and this, I just pulled up ADP and PPR.
Okay.
The 33rd running back. Here are three guys ahead of him. Austin Eckler, Kenyon Drake, and Lamar Miller.
Yeah, Lamar Miller is the next guy on my list.
Guys below him, the three below him, Rashad Penny, Daryl Henderson, Latavius Murray.
Because I have Penny, Freeman, Peterson, Eckler, and Murray right behind him on my rankings. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. So, and that's about where they're going. But, I mean, Geis is going around, it says, like 78 overall. Probably going to have to boost him up a little bit after the preseason game. You know, people seeing him out there. I would say, you know, it's not going to reflect here, but don't be surprised if Geis is going after, like, Miles Sanders. You know, they have Tevin Coleman at 28 here, Miles Sanders at 29. I'll bet you Geis is going to boost himself now up to going like right after Miles Sanders, around 30 overall.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Sanders or Geis? I think that's a good one.
I would rather have Miles Sanders right now. I trust Miles Sanders more this season. And, you know, regardless of all the positive things I said about Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson's still there. Chris Thompson's still there. I don't know if they're going to unleash Darius Geis early on. It would make more sense for Adrian Peterson to kind of be the early part of the season and, you know, be easy on Geis and then unleash him on the second half of the season. There's also, right, like, how many games are they truly going to win? Where Miles Sanders, I know there's a whole bunch of guys there, but all they've done is rave about him. Really talented back. I think this is the guy that finally can pin their hat on. So Miles Sanders, pretty easy for me.
Yeah, and it's not that surprising. And I think when you know, it's easy to sit here and say, well, I would take Lamar Miller over Darius Geis, and I'm pretty hard-lined about that, right? And that's how I sound most of the time.
Yeah,
I sound like everybody. But then when I get in a draft and I'm looking for upside because I have either boring running backs or I didn't take a running back or whatever the situation might be, and I look at Darius Geis versus Lamar Miller, like, I really don't want to draft Lamar Miller. But sometimes you just have to make the smart move. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't want to eat healthy. I would much rather have anything that's unhealthy except for Carl's Jr. So... but sometimes you just have to make the right decision for yourself, right? So sometimes you just need to make that decision.
And by the way,
I'm just taking Lamar Miller over him.
Maybe so. What you need to do on the fast food, by the way, is maybe this Carl's Jr. bit will make you never want it again. So you just need to commit the next 10 years to, for one straight year, only eating fast food until you hate them all. And then you'll eat good. And you'll totally be healthy enough when you're 46.
Been my strategy for 36 years, the well.
You just haven't gone through all of them yet?
I haven't run through all of them, and you made me go back to one of them.
I did, Taco Bell. Yeah. That's right about
Taco
that.
Taco Bell, which, by the way, I haven't been back. So
no? I thought you did one time, and it wasn't.
I might have. Yeah. Like, I might, when I went back, it was because they were the only thing open after 11.
I think you and I talked about it. You kind of were like, I tried it again. Maybe I'll go get a quesadilla. And you did it, and you were just like, this isn't very good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I did this.
Yeah, I don't like any of
this. I was like Ron Burgundy jumping into the bear pit. I immediately regret this decision.
Speaking of Miles Sanders, let's go and look. The Baltimore Ravens, they beat the Eagles in week 3. On the Eagles side, though, Corey Clement, who he was getting first-team reps earlier in the week, just because the Eagles are masochists. There was no Miles Sanders. There was no Darren Sproles. It was just Corey Clement and Josh Adams, who both had 7 carries. Corey Clement was better. If you want to comment on him, you can. But the big thing to pull away from this was J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 8 catches, 104 yards, targeted 9 times. And there's been a lot of raving of him lately, even though depth charts have been telling us something different. We had a report like 2 or 3 days ago about, you know, Nelson Agholor is going to be amazing. Everyone's going to be amazing. But, you know, Whiteside goes out there and he's targeted. He makes all the big plays, catches 8 of 9 targets, and the beat writers absolutely love him. So are you comfortable to bring Whiteside back up?
Boy, he was really good up against those third stringers, wasn't he?
Well,
so, I mean, man.
Targeted 9 times, caught the balls.
I'm just not going to bring him up, and it's not because I don't believe in Arcega-Whiteside, which he's fine, you know, and I've never been a guy that is into J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I think he kind of is slow on his breaks and stuff, and if you're playing up against good defensive backs, you know, he's going to get picked when he's been thrown to a couple times. So I'm not really super into J.J. So, but he does have that super he can catch the ball contested almost every single time. And I think that's why quarterbacks like targeting him, especially when you're going up against backup corners or any of that stuff, which, look, it's going to happen in the season. Corners are going to get hurt. So he's going to have those matchups, and he's going to have those matchups where he's clearly the much bigger guy. So, and I think the reason he's so good at catching contested passes, the Welsh, why would that be?
Because he's big.
Because every single one is contested because he's so slow.
Okay, I mean, that's a fair point.
I mean, look, he's a good wideout. He is, but he's like a broke version of Mike Williams to me.
One that got opposite run. A listener was tweeting. It doesn't matter. Was tweeting me and somebody else about the Cam Newton injury, and they're like, "All right, who should I drop here? Who should I keep? Should I keep Debo Samuel or Miles Boykin?" And I was like, you keep Debo, dude. If you're concerned about Cam, you keep Debo. It's not even remotely close. But there's a camp of people that are very excited about Miles Boykin because Marquise Brown looks like he's a bit of a ways away. Even though, you know, he was in the game.
He played.
Three catches, yeah, 17 yards. There was just all this negative, like, you know, he's behind the eight ball type of thing. But Miles Boykin had a big old 44-yard catch. He's getting people all hot and bothered. As far as probably a deeper late-round guy, are you in? I mean, Boykin does not even remotely have the crazy run that Arcega-Whiteside has right now. Boykin, anybody could probably take at the end of their draft, but would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Boykin, and I think the difference here is that Baltimore doesn't have weapons, so they need someone. The Eagles, which is another reason why I'm not in on JJ this year, is they don't really need him. I mean, we talked about on our show about how, you know, the beat writers in Philly have raved about Nelson Aguilar. And Nelson Aguilar has been an afterthought, but it's him, it's Alshon, it's DeSean Jackson, it's both those tight ends, Ertz and Goddard, and then all of the running backs, and then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So I'm just not super into taking J.J. this year, but when you look at Baltimore, who's the wide receiver they've been raving about, the Welsh? Name him.
Mark Andrews?
Yeah, exactly. It's a tight end. It's Mark Andrews. So, you know, knowing that and going into the season, and look, I was not a Miles Boykin guy coming out of Notre Dame because, look, the Spark score was amazing. He was really, really good on all of his combine stuff, and that's fine. But when you flip on the film, he's running wrong routes. He doesn't know how to block. That kind of stuff is going to keep you off the field in the NFL. Now, with all that physical talent, if he can be coached up, I think he could be huge. But I don't think it's going to be his rookie season. So I'm not going out beating down doors to pick up Miles Boykin. But, you know, you and I are in a ton of 16-man drafts and keeper league drafts with 30 rounds and IDPs and stuff like that. I'd absolutely take a flyer on him in one of those leagues. And if you're in a deeper league this year, redraft, with either deeper benches or, 16-man deep teams. We had a listener email us in about a 20-man league. Miles Boykin is definitely a guy I would keep my eye on, and I would take him over JJ, I'll tell you that much.
Somebody that got a lot of run this weekend as far as, like, getting the seal of approval was Dede Westbrook. Dede Westbrook was targeted 7 times, and I don't know how many of those targets came from Nick Foles. I don't have that number in front of me, but Fournette.
Did you see Minka Fitzpatrick light him up?
Yes. There was a bunch of Twitter about that. Yeah, it was about, But everybody was all hot and bothered that Dede's getting all these targets. Number one, we had a listener email in about Dede being a top 15 fantasy option. I saw somebody, a popular checkmark person go, he might be a top 20 option. I mean, people are in on Dede. He only caught 4 of the 7 balls. He did catch a touchdown, though. And I think when we had little excitement around, like, DJ Chark, stupid Terrell Pryor, I see, is still looming out there. You know, they just have a bunch of options. Nobody separated themselves. People are feeling comfortable that Dede is a guy that's separating himself. So is he a later – because he is a later-ish round wide receiver you have to take. I think in Fantasy Pros, he is going not that late, 41 overall. But they have him ranked or at least he's going ADP-wise, which aggregates the sites – over Curtis Samuel, over Emmanuel Sanders, over Geronimo Allison, but going just under Marvin Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Josh Gordon.
Yeah, and look, the skill is there, right? The skill is definitely there for Dede. I think it's just we've waited on who is going to be the guy in Jacksonville for so long that people have started to go, well, none of these guys are, so I'm just not going to mess with it, you know? And some people are super in on Dede. Where do you say where's his ADP and his rank again? Give him to me one more time.
41st receiver, 92 overall. And even though their overall things are really weird, technically Marvin Jones is ADP above him positionally, but it shows from overall perspective, Dede going higher at 92 overall, which is really odd.
Okay.
Even higher than Larry Fitzgerald, to be honest with you. So he's going at, like, top wide receiver 4 area.
Yeah, and it's funny because I have him at 41, and I did have N'Keal Harry ahead of him. I think I'm going to have to push Harry down a little bit after this preseason and all that stuff.
Yeah, but look at those updates over on Patreon for this weekend. You guys can check the latest stuff we did.
Right. So, you know, Didi is he's one of those exciting players. And I think this group of, you know, where you have Kirk, you know, you have Didi, you had Metcalf probably until his knee surgery. Then, you know, Curtis Samuels, Scantling, all those guys, Josh Gordon. He's exciting.
Yeah.
But people pick other exciting guys, too.
It's exciting to see after the preseason, and there's a little bit of hope if it was lost. All right, don't go anywhere. We got to hit a break real quick, but more Bogman than the Welsh as we're talking about this big draft weekend coming up.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
The NFL season is here, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, setting the lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. Or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you are doing it wrong. Don't use Daily Dado or whatever I was trying to say there. Use Daily Roto. Head on over and check out the loads of tools they've got for NFL, baseball, golf, basketball, hockey, and sports wagering. And you can get access to all of them with the Daily Roto Elite Package. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and you get to use the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That is DailyRoto.com. Promo code ACTION, DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. Welcome back. This is In This League. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman. Hello to you. I imagine you're drinking, you're prepping. I mean, really, this is a bad relationship weekend for a lot of relationships. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, what's funny is I've been obviously I do, like you have mentioned, about 8 million podcasts. So I'm just talking with different people, Gary Davenport, John Lobb, and those guys. And Lobb says to me, yeah, I'm getting in all my wife time now because she knows I won't really see her until December.
It's a weird time of year, man. I mean, they say the dog days, you know, I've been having a rough go with just a lot of different stuff. And you just forget, like, when you get to the end of the summer, everybody's hot. Everybody's sick of the summer. There's a drag. Like people are going back to school. Your kids are going back to school. Vacations are kind of ending. You're prepping for the winter, but it's not here. There's just this mental thing that happens with everybody. And it happened, hit me hard. And I notice it every single year, not just because of like workload that you and I have, which is a part of it. This time of year is literally the roughest time of the year. Every single dang year. It is late July to mid-September, inside of probably the most difficult 2.5 months of the entire year, you throw in that football drafts absolutely dominate all of our thought processes, and relationships are on the line. So that is very smart to get the relationship time in, because as soon as you start dropping, hey, honey, I got to leave, I got a draft, There's problems. Didn't you just
That's
do three yesterday?
That's why you got to go to Fantrax and do the slow draft.
all people do is complain about slow drafts. I'm so sick of it.
That's just tiresome.
I love slow drafts. There is something, I will admit, I like, if I do 10 drafts, let's say I have 10 leagues in a season, I want 8 of them to be slow drafts. And I know that might sound wild to people. I love slow drafts. I like the thinking process of it. I like that we don't have to mark out a whole bunch of time. It kind of spreads out, so I'm always looking forward to something. You get to follow along, do your research a little bit more. But I always want a couple that are live, because you can't take away the instant freak-out reaction stuff that happens with people. People make weird decisions because they got to act now, and sometimes it benefits you. But I want more slow drafts than I want live ones. But I feel like you and I are – we're more the minority on that, because people still absolutely love their drafts and they just don't care about their family or relationships.
There are some people that,
I'm just joking.
Not everybody does 15 drafts, you know, like you and I do. So,
I mean, there's no evidence to prove that lately from all the listeners, but I know what you're saying.
I think they said, and this is a while back, so let's bump it up 2 leagues, but they said the average person had that plays fantasy football has three leagues. So let's just say that's five now, okay. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think most people are doing five live drafts. If you are, then yeah, you're probably a single guy like me, you know.
Or you're going to be single soon.
Yeah, or you're soon to be single, that type of stuff.
Or you know what they'll be? Or they'll be the guys who be like, you guys are wrong. You know why? You know why this isn't the case? Because we draft together. Oh, vomit in my mouth. Get over yourself, you loser. Get over yourself.
I mean, whatever, you know.
We do it together.
Fine. I mean, I have no issue
with
that.
You know what makes
a
happy family unit? Couples drafting teams in the same league. Ugh.
What would you do if your wife just all of a sudden got into fantasy
sports? That's fine. I mean, I would... We'll talk about stuff.
Oh,
we could do like a league.
Your voice says something different.
No, it'd be totally fine. I mean, it'll never happen. My wife could not hate football more than anybody, so it'll never happen. It's not a problem. But if she did, I'd do one of those family. I got no problem doing a family league. My problem is the person that wants to interject and be like, "I know what you're talking about." We do them all together. Ugh, just whatever. You do like four with your significant other. Give me a break. See other people. Pass. Draft with other people, please.
And problem. What happens when you break up? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, what happens when you beat her? You're going to beat her in week eight, and she's going to be pissed off at you the whole week. Or she's going to beat you, and you're going to be a baby about it. Everyone's going to laugh at you and point at you.
Or you could just be adults. You know, not everybody has to be a baby about it. So, I don't know. You know,
you played fantasy before?
Yeah, I have. So
kind of a baby. It's kind of like daycare. That's
not the thing you should ask me. You've been like, "Hey, you've been in a relationship before, kind of ish, you know." But I played
too
fantasy.
Too many live drafts, not in time
right,
for relationships.
Exactly. Too many live drafts, and I like, are we going to go do this weekend? Yeah, we're not.
No.
So, by the way, I'm into college football and regular NFL football. So you're not going to see me the entire weekend. No. How do you like them apples?
I don't know how it's ever going to work. For you literally your entire
I'm
Saturday
gonna have to be
Sunday.
The guy where we draft together. That's gonna have to be me, and you're gonna hate me. So
I don't hate if people do it. What I hate is the person that's got to stop and tell you about, let me tell you something, this is why it works, this is how I make it work, we do all of them together, all right buddy, I'm sure. And you hold hands and you do all this stuff. That's great.
You don't want to hear about it working out for other people.
Yeah. I mean, just like, you got to have things that's your own. And usually fantasy can be, I don't care if you're a man or woman, just take fantasy for your own. Just don't share everything, because then you never have an outlet. You actually are taking things you like and having no outlet for yourself.
I mean, other things can be the outlet outside of fantasy, too. I don't know.
But that's why I use the broad term of outlet. Any outlet can be used.
Right.
Speaking of fantasy, exactly. maybe you could read this as a couple. You guys could read this all together, everybody.
We hold hands and go to Fantasy Pros.
Yeah, we're going to go to Fantasy Pros, and we've got this really great article. You know, I bet the relationship would do really good about talking about things you regret if you don't do it, because that's what they've got. Eight players you'll regret not drafting. I am fascinated to see what this is. And Bogman, number one, I guess they just pooled their staff, which is really not quite all their staff because there's people from other spots, but here are the names that popped up on the players that apparently we will regret if we don't draft. Number one is a Bogman guy, Latavius Murray, who they have as the half PPR. I don't know why he decided to use the overall ADP and half PPR. I guess they did that in every article here. I hate that. But running back 35, Latavius Murray, we will regret not having him, says Bobby Sylvester.
I'm kind of into that. I think that his price has been moving up recently. I think those, comments from Sean Payton saying we see Alvin Kamara having a similar role as we had last year made people move Latavius Murray up. And I'll just reemphasize the point. While I really like Latavius Murray in this offense, I think he's going to be better than he was in Minnesota, of course. But he's not Mark Ingram. You know, Mark Ingram is still the better running back, and Mark Ingram fits better, and Captain's very upset about
that. That was the loudest Captain has.
He just can't leave me alone.
I mean, what is the deal with that? Is he having the dog days, the cat days of summer?
I guess. I don't know what it is. He's got plenty of food.
He cannot stand that take. He doesn't like the Latavius Murray one.
I think he thinks I'm talking to him, like, because I'm talking to the microphone and he can't see anyone. So I think he's just trying to respond to me recently, but it's
can you imagine what cats must think? Like, this guy talks to himself all day long.
All day. Look at him. He just
the things he does to himself and talks to himself. This is terrifying to be here. This is like
no eye contact.
Horrific place. Yeah. I want to burn through a little bit of these because there's a piece of news I want to talk about just at the back end here. Lamar Jackson comes in. This is Andy Holloway's pick, quarterback 14. We will regret not drafting Lamar Jackson, and I don't agree with that one. I mean,
if he hits his upside, everyone will regret him. But it's going to be one of those things where everyone regrets not taking him because now he's a top five quarterback because he did, you know, he did the bit where he's, you know, like he did in college, and he's one of the top scoring people in all of fantasy football. Or he's going to be middle-ish of the road again, maybe better than last year, but not quite hitting his stride completely yet. And I think that's kind of where we're at because he just doesn't have the targets
The only move this makes sense where it's an actual regret, and I get, you know, they're just using this arbitrary term to, like, talk about guys that they think are underowned or whatever. But still, if we're going to, you know, take it for face value here, the only way Lamar Jackson, anyone regrets, is if he pulls a Patrick Mahomes. If he becomes a top three fantasy quarterback and he's doing like what you said, that's the scenario where we regret. But if he becomes a quarterback 8 or something like that, and we really care, we're going to regret, I didn't take him at 14, now he's 8. No, you're fine. You probably took the 10th quarterback who became 9.
Something I haven't heard anyone talk about or point out, but let's just take Andrew Luck. Let's take injury-free Andrew Luck, and let's take him out of the Colts and stick him with the Ravens, right?
Yeah,
he's going to lose value because of the weapons there, right? He has much better weapons in Indy.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, so just think of that, you know, and kind of translate that to Lamar Jackson. I know we're going to get a ton of value out of his rushing yards, but if he had better receivers too, people would think more of him. And if you took, it doesn't matter what quarterback, if you took Patrick Mahomes and put him in Baltimore, he would have a lower value because they don't have good targets.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that people are just not taking into account because he's a runner.
I want to pick two more here. And I mean, frankly, we weren't going to go through all 8 because, you know, go and give them clicks. This is their content. We're just commenting on it. Go to Fantasy Pros. You can, or you can just type in 8 players you'll regret not drafting. Here's 2 more. I think this one's really interesting. OJ Howard, Richard Salville from the Fantasy Six Pack, says the guy who's going 54 overall in half PPR as tight end 4, O.J. Howard, is someone we will regret not having. I say, I know where you're going and I know what you mean, but I say nay, sir. I don't, if I'm not getting the top 3, why would I pay like the fall off premium? You know, he's the tight end fall off when you don't get the good guys. Why would I pay the premium price that he comes with at this point? Because he's going to be Travis Kelce, he's going to be Zach Ertz. I don't believe that's going to be the case in that offense with Godwin, Mike Evans, the running backs. And, I mean, we also don't have a history of Bruce Arians utilizing the tight ends like you would hope. So I'm just not into that one.
Yeah, I think that, you know, going in the top 60 in the top 5 rounds is just, that's too much. You know, you said he was 54.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's high.
That's way too high.
Way too high.
I'm not like, if I'm taking a tight end early like that, I'm usually taking one of the top 3. I think Evan Engram can work his way into that group this year. And I like OJ Howard a lot. I mean, I've been the OJ Howard guy and I'm not in on him as much as Richard Saville is. So
last one. And then I want to get to this little piece of news real quick. I like this one. Matt Schaaf from Draft Sharks. Josh Gordon, wide receiver 35. You will regret not drafting. And I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, Bogman, you just will regret if you draft Josh Gordon, right?
I won't because I'm not going to draft him. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter. I have you in almost every single one of my leagues.
Good point.
There are very few scenarios where I am snapping up Josh Gordon. So no, thank you.
This is a piece of news I wanted to talk about. I know it's minor, but I think this is important, and some people, I mean, we're recording this on Friday. This is coming down a little bit late Friday here, but Cowboys executive VP Stephen Jones says he remains very optimistic that the team is going to get a deal done with Ezekiel Elliott ahead of week 1. Jones cautioned that no deal is imminent. He said he's still confident the sides will find the middle ground. And on September 8th, Elias says, quote, "We feel confident things will get done." That's his actual quote coming off of Ed Werder's report about the extension talk. I know it seems super tiny, but in the world of everything we've been talking about with Ezekiel Elliott, seeing that, very, very important stuff to hear. That makes me feel very optimistic, and I know that's, you know, I know it's silly. It could seem silly, but this is the thing I needed. I needed somebody in upper management to be like, yeah, we're confident this is getting done. That means you guys are actually going to relent on this, and that's what I've been wanting. We haven't heard anything from Jerry Jones about this.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones has the last say still. So I don't know. I am. This doesn't mean much to me, to be honest, because he also Stephen Jones and also talked about Amari Cooper's injury. Like he's like, oh, it's more of a muscle strain. Oh, really? Are you Dr. Stephen Jones now? Is that right? You know more about this injury than the other people that have been talking about it? Give me a break, dude. Like yeah. I just it's fine. And it's what you want to hear. And it's what you should hear. Especially when it's coming from someone in upper management, like you said, the Welsh, those guys are still trying to sell tickets. So, look, I think this deal is going to get done, and I think that it's going to get done before the season starts.
Well, it sounds even more so. Like I said, I know it sounds silly, and you should always still proceed with caution. But like in a world of Ezekiel Elliott falling to 9 or 10. I don't know. I give me the VP talking about that. No, we feel good about that. Nothing's imminent, but we feel good. Then you know where you need to be. And if
I just don't know if it's a legitimate source, right? It's almost like
Cowboys executive Stephen Jones.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's almost like asking a parent like, hey, is your kid smart? What is a parent going to say? They're not going to say no. You know, so this guy has to say, hey, what do you guys think of Zeke? Nah, he's a pain in the ass. Nah, we're not going to sign him.
Yeah, but
it hasn't looked good.
Okay, but that's not what I'm saying.
I understand.
I'm not looking for him to come out and be like, talk about Zeke as a person. He could have said, you know, nothing's going on. We're waiting for him. You know, Zeke who? He could have said anything like that. But his his decision was to say, we feel confident it's going to get done after a report that he didn't accept the second highest paid running back. Joe Thomas had this big old tweet storm about values that Ezekiel Elliott also, I think, retweeted. So I think they know where Elliott's camp is at. They know where they need to be to actually make this work. And for Stephen Jones to come out and make a comment like that, I think that's telling. It's not
lip
service.
In these situations, I feel like bad news is news and good news is rhetoric. So that's kind of just where I stand. Like last year when you hear Mike Tomlin say something like, we want volunteers, not hostages, and you start going, ugh, I don't like that at all. You know. But when you hear, no, we're going to get him. We're going to get him in here. He's going to be full go and we're ready. Like, I have no problem. I just took Zeke in one of my drafts. I have no problem taking him. I just don't know that this isn't the lamp that lights the way to him signing. That's all.
Okay. I get where you're going with that. I feel a little bit more confident, you know, still give me the top three over Zeke at this point. But number four, those type of things are the things I'm looking for to pull the trigger if I'm in such a situation. All right, guys, that is it for me, but it's not it for the show. We've got one more hour. Bogman is going to be joined by our buddy Casey Bubba. More football talk, I expect. Some good article stuff. See where Casey's at. So thank you guys for tuning in. You guys know where you can find me on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh. And if you happen to miss this third segment, you missed anything we already did, you can always catch everything on the podcast side. And make sure to listen to the podcast. We have got the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast and all the others. Until then, I will see you guys next week. But hour 3 coming up right after this.